evening, everybody. So we're back for another Zman of Shiurim. So I know that Sukkos is over, but all the shadows I got recently were about Sukkos because it was Sukkos. So let's go through a couple of shilas. Let's see. Okay, let's go through a couple of shilas. You tell me what you think, which one you want to do. So shilah number one, I think that more than a... there it is. Okay. Yeah, okay, so let's go through, maybe we'll go through three shilas and we'll give you the choice of three. So shilah number one, I got the following email from someone. If I've already done this one, let me know. I don't think I did. It goes as follows. Hello, Rabbi Leibowitz. I'm reaching out from an anonymous email due to the more sensitive nature of this. Did I do this one? Anyone? This sound familiar yet? Okay. Due to the more sensitive nature of this, it is something I am still embarrassed about and to bring up despite the fact that it happened many years ago. So that's...
Is this one or something else?
What?
Is this?
No. So this is a promising start, right? Meaning like... He's going to be a doozy, right? You know, someone like he's still embarrassed and it's like decades later. So like, oh, I can't wait to read the next paragraph. When I was in second grade, come on. when I was in second grade, I used to take snacks from one of my friend's bag very often. I was very hungry as a child, and I never liked the food my mother gave me. My friend had the most awesome snacks. I used to go... I made that last line up. I used to go and check what his mother had given him and steal a snack or two. I'm not sure how exactly to do tshuva for this. On the one hand, I highly doubt that my friend would even remember that this happened, as it was so many decades ago. We're both now adults. Going to him and asking for mechila for this, I feel would be extremely embarrassing, as it would involve me bringing up a very embarrassing past of mine that is unknown. I'd mention that since then, I have been and strive to be as excruciatingly honest in all matters as possible, especially in financial matters. I have not stolen anything since then, to the best of my knowledge, down to even a tissue. I take great pains and go to great lengths to ensure that I do not take or use anything without permission. Is this something that I would need to ask mechila for? When it comes to reimbursement, would I need to pay him or his parents? Or would just giving tzedakah be enough? How much tzedakah would I need to give? I have no clue how many snacks I took or how much they were worth, as this is going back several decades. Please let me know what you think. I have a Gemar Chasima Tova signed, a Yid trying to do the right thing. That's a holy Jew, no? First of all, I mean, right away, like, the guy's a tzaddik, no? He's doing the Cheshbon HaNefesh before Yom Kippur. And the last Avera he can think of was in second grade when he stole someone's snacks. I mean, that's amazing, no? Okay, so that is Shaila number one. Shaila number two. I didn't print out one of the ones I wanted to do. So Shaila number two was the following. A rabbi reached out on Erev Sukkos, and he said that someone... had he said that someone in his shul was hosting a potential gerus candidate for a yontif meal, and he wanted to know if it was mutter to do that, to invite a gerus candidate for a yontif meal. Gerus candidate means that the person is not yet a ger, that the person is not yet Jewish. And there is a halacha on the books in Shulchan Aruch. I spoke about a Tamin halacha today a little bit, that you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew to a yontif meal. Here's the catch. As a member of a Beis Din of Geirus, I don't think I would ever convert somebody who hadn't at least experienced Yantif before. Meaning, one of the things that we look for is that they know how to live life like a Jew. So they got to go through like the whole cycle. I want to know that they experienced Pesach. I want to know that they experienced Sukkos. I want to know that they experienced Yom Kippur. I want to know all of those things. But it's like a catch 22. There's an Isser on the books, you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew to a Yantif meal. And at the same time, if the person wants to be a ger, they're going to have to experience the yomtiv meal at some point. So what do you do about that? So that is shaila number two that came up just before yomtiv. Shaila number three, I didn't print out my stuff on it, but we'll see if you're interested. Should I do shaila number three or just stick with two? Take a vote, whether we should take a vote? So, what? One more? All right, Menachem Aaron always wins. Everyone gets a vote, but only one vote counts. So Shaila number three would be like this. A guy came over to me in shul on the second day of Sukkot, and he told me that, and you actually see my own, he told me that on the second day of Sukkot that he noticed in the morning that his father-in-law's esrog had a pitum fall off of the esrog. And he felt bad. He knew his father-in-law would be very upset about it. So he wanted to switch out his own esrog for his father-in-law's esrog, hoping his father-in-law wouldn't notice. So he was basically going to take his father-in-law's esrog and put his own esrog in his father-in-law's esrog's place. And the father-in-law would then be happy because he would have an esrog with a pitum. And this guy said, whatever, I'll share with my son. It'll be fine. I have another esrog to you. So he wanted to know if he's allowed to do that. Okay, so those are our three shaylos. Now we get three to vote from. So we have number one, the guy that wants to do tshuva for stealing snacks when he was in second grade. Number two, inviting a gayrus candidate for a meal when you're not allowed to invite non-Jews for meals on Yom Tov, which is halach pesuk in Shulchan Aruch. And number three, are you allowed to steal your father-in-law's esrog in order to replace it with a better one without his permission? Did I discuss all of these at that panel in Young Israel?
Just 2 and 3.
2 and 3 we discussed in the panel. Okay. Well, we didn't really get into 2 to the fullest extent. Well, we didn't get into any of them to the fullest extent. Okay, so we could do voting on the chat over here, and we could do voting in person. Let's start with the in-person people. All those who want to talk about shaila number one, stealing when you're in second grade. Okay, all those who want to talk about shaila number two, inviting the gayrus candidate. A lot more. All those who want to talk about shaila number three, the fallen pitum and the esrog. Yeah, don't esrogim become the least interesting thing the day after Sukkot, right? Like, that's okay, let's see what the internet voting was. 3, 2, and 3. Okay, so I think 2 is going to win. All right, so inviting a gayrus candidate for Yantav Mil. Yes, but that's what we'll talk about over here. This is a fascinating topic because it is a halacha mufreshes. It doesn't seem much like there's much wiggle room, and every posek on earth pretty much says, yeah, but we got to be makel. So they have to, you know, figure out a way that you could be makel. So what I'd like to do over here is chazer over what the basic iser is, go through maybe some of the common cases where this would come up, like why would you want to have a non-Jew at your yantif meal to begin with, and go through the heterim as they appear in the Rishonim, and then go through the shitos in halacha that people are makel with, that people use to be makel. Good. So that sounds like an ambitious enough thing to do. So let's start with the how we started the Tamil Halacha today, which is the sugya. The Gemara Misach Beis Adav Chaf Aleph tells us that the pasuk in the Torah says Ach Asher Yechal Chol Nefesh Ulvado Yehasel Lechem, that you're not allowed to do any malacha on Yom Tov. However, when it's Elchol Nefesh, you're allowed to do malacha. So the default is all 39 malachas you're not allowed to do in Shabbos, you're not allowed to do in Yom Tov. But if it's for Elchol Nefesh, then you're allowed to do those malachas. But when we say that you're allowed to do malach for ochel nefesh, hu levado yeyaseh lachem. So the Gemara darshins, yeah, lachem velo lenachri, that or lachem velo laakum, that you're not allowed to do malachas ochel nefesh for an oved kochavim. So it goes back to the default of the iser of not being allowed to do malacha. If you are cooking for a nachri, that is a malacha da'oraisa of Bishul on Yantif, and it's like doing any other Malacha Daraisa on Yantif. It's like plowing on Yantif, or weaving on Yantif, or any other Malacha Daraisa that you would be doing on Yantif. So that's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara tells us a couple of important halachic points. The Gemara tells us that Amar Bishul ben Levi mizamnin es hanachri b'Shabbos ve'in mizamnin es hanachri b'Yom Tov gzeir Hashem yabra b'shvilo. You're allowed to invite a nachri to your house for a Shabbos meal. You're not allowed to invite a nachri to your house for a Yom Tov meal. Wait, I thought we just said that you're not allowed to cook for a nachri. Why can't I invite him over to eat? I did all my cooking before Yom Tov. Everything's been in the refrigerator, or it's the first night of Yom Tov. I'm not cooking anything tonight. It's all cooked from before. A gzeir midra Rabbanan, Shema Yarbe Bishvilo, that if the non-Jew comes to your house and he says, you know, I really like this food, but what I would really prefer, I would love it if you could make me you know, an omelet, and you're like, oh, an omelet's no big deal. I'll throw one together for you in no time. And you make him an omelet. That would be an issur d'oraisa, and therefore, out of the gzeira midrabanan, you're not allowed to invite him even in the first place to eat at your house. And this is a halacha pesukah in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim Sim Tav Kuf Yud Beis, that you're not allowed to invite a nachri for yom tov meal. The Aruch HaShulchan deals with the obvious kasha, and that is that we know when it comes to malachos of yom tov, even if something is not for the sake of ochel nefesh, mitoch shehutru l'tzoruch ochel nefesh, shuturami shelo l'tzoruch ochel nefesh. Anything that you're allowed to do for the sake of ochel nefesh, that same malacha could be done even when it's not for the sake of ochel nefesh. So the Aruch HaShulchan deals with that according to all the different shittos we've shown him of what the limitations of mitoch are. We don't have to get into that right now. Let's suffice it to say, it's halacha pesukah in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to invite a nachri to a yom tov meal. Now, it happens to be that the Mishnah Brura adds to that, that even a non-religious Jew should not be invited to a yom tov meal, and that's what we discussed in the Temen Halacha Shir today. We're not going to go back into that. Let's stick with the halacha of a nachri. So, even though it is usur, and it is an issur that was a takanas chazal, nevertheless, we do find different heterim in the Rishonim. Another point just to make before we get through the heterim in the Rishonim is that the Gemara tells us that Adbere Rava Lamar Shmuel, the Darash, Mizamnas Nachri B'Shavseh, Mizamnas Nachri B'Yom Tov, Gzer Rishem Yar B'Shlo, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to invite the Nachri for Yom Tov, Maremu Marzutra, Kevin Miklu, Nachri B'Yom Tov, and when Maremu Marzutra would have a Nachri come to them on Yom Tov, Amrulei, they would say to him, Inichalach B'Maid Terichalon Mutav, if you're satisfied with the food that we've already prepared, then fine. V'ilo tirchi yaseir adayt d'achlo tarchinan. But if you're not satisfied with the food we've prepared, we're not going to make anything else for you. And if you apparently, according to the Gemara, if you have that conversation with the Nachri, where you say, I will cook nothing special for you, then you're allowed to have him at your house. That's what it seems like, according to the Gemara. So the Gemara already seems to provide an exception to the Isser. So the Isser is, you're not allowed to invite a Nachri, Isser midrabanan, lest you come to cook for him. But if you make it clear that you would never cook for him, then apparently, from the simple reading of the Gemara, it seems like you're allowed to invite him. You're allowed to have him eat in your house. So now, the Rishonim, if you look through the Rishonim, you will find seven different kulas that that appear in Rishonim for this issue. First kula is if the Meiri writes on the sugya, Ein mezamnen es hagoy b'yom tov af b'masha mukhan lo gzera shemiyar b'shilo v'im omar lo b'shoa shenichnas hareini mezamancha al menas shetisratze b'mukhan shiyef sholanu laharbos b'shilach. Mutter. The Miri says straight what it said, what it sounded like in the Gemara, that as long as you have that conversation with him and you tell him, I will not make anything extra for you, then it is mutter. The Rashba writes Zavod Sakodesh as well, the same heter. A second heter. The Tanya Rabasi, Asalo li Yisrael Zamina Sakuti Shoklima Biyomtov, Gzer Shami Yabra Bishilo, you're not allowed to invite him, Avul Mirtsal Zamno Acha Shatikin Kol Tsarchi Sudaso, Visamuch Suda, Shein Lacha Shami Yabra Bishilo Rashos Biyado. There is such a shita in Rishonim that if you wait until the last minute when everything's already cooked and it's right about to be mealtime, I'll tell you, Maisa Shahaya, last year on Sukkot time, there was a fellow in my shul who was very politically connected, so he brought the town of Hempstead. I don't know what's Bruce Blakeman now. Come on, he's you're just making stuff up now. The town, you know, like the equivalent of like the governor of Nassau County, not town of Hempstead, Nassau County executive, the county executive of Nassau County, thank you. Okay, so the county executive of Nassau County, who at that time was a woman by the name of Laura Curran, she was a good friend of the Jewish community. Bruce Blakeman is also a good friend of the Jewish community, because if you're a Nassau County executive, you better be a good friend of the Jewish community. Anyway, so Laura Curran is not Jewish. Bruce Blakeman, I believe, is Jewish, but Laura Curran came last year to my shul on Sukkot. She came back on Simchas Torah. She loved it so much, but she said, you know, I'd love to see a sukkah. I've never seen a sukkah before. So the guy said, oh, well, the rabbi lives next door. So he brought her into my sukkah, which, by the way, is a whole separate shayla. Are you allowed to have a nachri in the sukkah? Is the Kabbalists are not so happy about that. They say the nachri comes into the sukkah and all the yeshbizim run away or whatever. I don't know, but she came into my sukkah. So at that point, the meal was ready cooked. Everything's ready set. Well, it says a group of Rishonim. If you want to say at that point, you know, you can cut, and the Magen Avraham quotes such a shita that you want to stay, you're welcome to stay, that would be mutter. However, the Magen Avraham says that that is only kasher kvar gomar lahachanes tarches uda v'lo haya daito lamekara. That's only if that was never the plan, that it was a surprise, drop in last minute, then you could ask them to stay. But if it was always the plan all along that I'll cook and whatever, and then I'll invite this person, so then it would not work. However, Rav Asher Weiss writes Mishnah Berurah in Sharet Zion says, does not quote the Magen Avraham, because he says it sounds from the Rambam that the Rambam disagrees with the Magen Avraham. So even though the Magen Avraham has that heter that he quotes, and again it only works in limited circumstances, the Mishnah Berurah is not excited about that heter. The Magen Avraham does not even quote it. Heter number three. What if the guy just shows up? He was never invited. The Rishonim are all bothered by Akasha. The Rashba, the Ran, the Sechz Beitza are all bothered by Akasha. How could you cook on Yom Tov for the Avadim that live in your house? Meaning, thank God, you know, Abe Lincoln came and he freed the slaves, so we don't have Avadim, but we do have help that often lives in the house. You have a housekeeper that lives in the house. So what? The housekeeper, we tell her before Yom Tov, by the way, you're just not going to eat for the next few days. Like, you know, cereal and milk for you, as we enjoy our, you know, five-course meals, and you watch that. So how does that work if you have people that live in your house? So the Rishonim all ask this this kasha, and the Rishonim say that it's only by invited guests where you're mischabed bahem that you have to be choshesh for this, that you're honored by their presence. But in Eved, it's ein darkam laharbos bishvilam anyway. It's not the derech to add anything extra for them anyway. You give them whatever you're eating is good enough for them also. And if they aren't happy with that, they'll take their own pot, make their own food, and that's not going to be your problem. You're not going to go cooking something special for them. That is kula number three. The Taz quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Yod writes, "V'nir lani esdaiti la'achriya la'alacha din b'me eilo v'yisrael nosan l'lechol below azman of avtsara shi'ochol etzlo ein isr shem yarbe." That as long as you never invited the person, and below havtsara. Below havtsara means, and when they showed up, you didn't say, "Oh, I'm so happy you're here. Can you please come stay with us? Please come eat with us." That's an invitation. Once, even if they showed up without the invitation, to then tell them, "Oh, I'd love you to stay. It would be great to have you for a meal." That too would be an invitation. That would be a problem. So far, how many of these kulas are really particularly helpful? Meaning, think about the common cases. Common cases is, you know, you already invited an achri, and then you discovered this halacha. You know, so now what do you do? You know, you have cases like that, or people involved in kiruv, and they invite people at various stages of their journey, and sometimes they bring friends along, and some of their friends are not halachically Jewish. Or you have our case of educating a gerus candidate. So how do you handle such situations? So far, we don't have much help. A fourth kula, the Rashba writes, that even if you cook in a separate pot, typically the Yisrael will not be mevashel b'shvilam, they'll be mevashel liatzlam when it comes to an Eved. They'll cook their own food, and therefore you don't have to worry about, when it's not the derech to make a separate dish for that person, you don't have to worry about it. A fifth kula is if it's, the Rashba writes, anyone that you're responsible to feed, that's mizonosan alecha, you wouldn't have to worry about. A sixth shita is, the Balamor holds, that if you hold of the principle of Ha'il, then you would hold that there's no Isser to invite a guest. Not everyone agrees with that at all. Most of the Rishonim assume that we, and in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin Ha'il, and we paskin that you're not allowed to invite a guest. And a seventh and final heter is that they quote, the Bir Halacha quotes, that even though the Rashba says that even if there's going to be Eva, it's still going to be Aser. If it's going to be a bitl simchas yomtov, you can invite him to eat that which he prepared for himself. So if it's going to be bitl simchas yomtov, so those are the heterim that we have on the books. None of them are particularly helpful for us. So Rav Asher Weiss points out in a tshuva, in an as of yet unpublished tshuva, the following fascinating insight. And he writes, "Ba'ofen klali chazinan." He says, "I know none of these heterim actually help us. But let's think about what the existence of seven different heterim in Rishonim tells us about this halacha. He says, "Ba'ofen klali chazinan, b'kol divrei rishonam hanal, d'b'gzeirazu lo amrinan de'ilcha ela divrei chacham v'kivin shasru asru." From these heterim, you see very clearly that all the rishonim learn that this gzeira is not a low plug. This gzeira is not an absolute. They don't say, "Oh, once it's asr, it's asr." Ela amrinan zil basar taima. And apparently the way the Rishonim looked at this was, look at the reason for the Gzeira, and if the reason seems totally inapplicable, then you don't have a Gzeira. That was how the Rishonim learned it, and that's why the Rishonim allowed you to cook for your Eved and your Shivcha, and they came up with all these exceptions. So says Rav Ashwai, so now let's put on our 2022 Tavshin Pei Gimel glasses and look at the nature of this Gzeira. Does it still make sense? Bizman Azad. So he writes, I would suggest that there are many svaros to say that the gzeira shouldn't apply. First of all, we typically don't cook extra for more dishes for more guests. We just cook more of the same thing. He says, typically we don't cook on Yom Tov that much either. We cook most of our food in advance of Yom Tov. This gzeira was made before the days of modern refrigeration, so they would cook everything in the moment. Nowadays, we have modern refrigeration. You cook something in advance of Yom Tov, the whole fridge and freezer and everything is full from before Yom Tov. I know in our house, that's certainly the way it was. And it's just a matter of, you know, the whole Yom Tov is just an exercise of emptying the refrigerator and the freezer. There's very little cooking that goes on Yom Tov. And furthermore, says Rav Asher, "Bidor shel shefa gadol kizmanenu." In a generation where we have so much food, and we never heard of an extra guest coming and saying, "Oh boy, I better put something on the fire." No, there's always way more than you need. So it'll be one less night of leftovers. It'll be a little less to throw in the garbage. Everyone always has what they need. They always have something. There's such a smaller likelihood of Shemi Yarba Bishvilo. You know, Maisa Shahaya, Erev, on Shabbos before Yantif, right? A Talmud of mine was driving to his in-laws in Silver Spring, Maryland, and they busted a tire on the road on their way. So he calls me from the side of the road and he says, "I got to get to Silver Spring. The guy is changing my tire right now, but he's still not done yet. And it says that I'm not going to get to Silver Spring till 20 minutes after Shkia. What do I do?" So I said, "How far are you from Baltimore?" He's got two little kids in the car. I said, "How far are you from Baltimore?" He said, "About 40 minutes. I'll get there, 20 minutes before Shkia or whatever, right, if I go to Baltimore." I said, "Okay, let's find you a place to go in Baltimore because you're spending Shabbos in Baltimore." His in-laws, I am sure, will never, ever forgive me, but you can't tell someone to be Michal Shabbos. He said, "What about two little kids?" I'm like, "They'll be safe in Baltimore. I'm not telling you to go to downtown Baltimore. I'll find you a nice room family." I called my good friend Rabbi Shai Schechter. I said, "Do you know anybody in Baltimore?" He said, "Let me get back to you." 3 seconds later, he got back to me that there's a wonderful family. They already set all the pack and plays and whatever, and they're ready to have him. Did they make a single stitch of extra food for this family of four that showed up, mamish, 10 minutes before Shabbos? I doubt it. And they had a wonderful Shabbos. They became great friends. Wonderful, right? That's these are Jews. That's what we do. It's the way we live. It's the way we do things. So it's, again, in-laws will probably never forgive me. I was just like, I hope your wife forgives me someday. He said she had a nice Shabbos, so maybe she'll forgive you. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, you can't be Michal Shabbos. Like, what are you, you know? Right? I think not a lot of people call Shabbos. I wasn't wrong about this. There was a safe place to be. Okay, so says Rav Asher Weiss, it's very unlikely that you would need to be Marben. He says, "And afim yitzor chavis b'shvil areich agoy bevada yivashel kamas gedolios agam l'sharo arachim." You're not going to cook only for the guy. You'll cook more for everybody. And then he says, plus, the Rashba writes that if Yeshul Lefarni says a goy b'machol macherim lo cheshinam, the Rashba has another kula that maybe could apply over here as well. And therefore, says Rav Asher Weiss, a klal gadol behora'a, that even though we cannot be mevatel l'gzeres chazal, and the Rishonim write that even when the time of the gzeres is batel, the gzeres is not batel, But b'makom shalafi mitzius achayim v'shinui hergalei b'nei ha'adam lo mistaber klal lachshon shlamash chashu heim yesh lahakel ba'ara v'lismoch al tzadei kula. Says Rav Asher Weiss, we cannot get rid of Gzeiras Chazal, but we can effectively get rid of Gzeiras Chazal. Meaning, we can be somech on every kula in the book when the Gzeira makes no sense in our modern, in our world that we live in. Even if typically the tzadim lahakel would not be enough to rely on in a normal halacha, but when you already see that Chazal were negotiable about this and it was not a low plug, and you have so many svaras to say why it shouldn't be a low plug in this case, so then we can rely on tzadim lahakel even though we cannot wholesale get rid of the gzeira. So based on that, Rav Asher Weiss thought you're allowed to invite a gerus candidate. Now, there are a number of other kulas that are suggested. Rav Asher Weiss has many of them. We're not going to have time to go through all of them. The most fascinating of the kulas, and the least convincing as far as I'm concerned, is that I saw Rabbi Michal Zilberman in an article quoted Harav Gedalia Dov Schwartz Zatzal, the Av Beis Din of the Beis Din of America, the former Av Beis Din of the Beis Din of America, that he said, you know, there's a tshuva from the Binyan Sion in Siman Sadi Aleph, where the Binyan Sion discusses a case of a ger from Morocco who had done mila, but not yet tvila. His mila hadn't healed yet. And it came Shabbos, and he hadn't yet done tvila. He hadn't completed his gevus. Now, typically, a ger has to, before he becomes a Jew, he has to be mechal Shabbos. You're not allowed to keep Shabbos if you're a guy. And someone came to his house on Shabbos and said, you must be mechal Shabbos, you have to light a match. Or, no, he told me he has to write a few letters, he has to write something. And the Binyan Sion was asked, you know, it was so humiliating for this guy. He was told that he has to write on Shabbos. He wanted to be Shomer Shabbos. And he already had his Mila. He just hadn't healed yet enough to be able to do a Tevila. So Binyan Sion says, whoever told him that he has to write is making a big mistake. He's already a half Jew. He said, it's not that you're either Jewish or not Jewish. There's such a thing as a half a Jew, that you're on your way to being Jewish. So that's what the Binyan Sion says. So says Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, you see from there that someone who is in the tahalich of Gerus, someone who is in the process of Gerus, is different than a regular guy. Now that's a big chiddush, meaning the Binyan Sion itself is a chiddush, that there's such a thing as a half Jew. But at least that guy had a meal already. He had some of the Gerus done. This person is just learning about Judaism, hasn't had anything yet. But Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz was makel based on that. Another kula that Rav Nissim Karelit suggests in the Chutshani is that you could tell him, inform him without inviting him. Similar to what we do, where do we do that? For a bris, right? Why do we do that for a bris? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Basra, I think it is, right? No, Maseches Pesachim. That Misha in the Mesav Bechabura Shal Mitzvah, if the person doesn't participate in the Sudas Mitzvah, is Menudah L'Shamayim. And the Rashbam writes, you know, like a bris mila. So because the Rashbam gives that as an example, so we're always afraid to make a person Menudah L'Shamayim, that you offer him the opportunity to come to a bris and he doesn't, so we just inform him. So maybe without being Mazmin, the Gemara Dafka said that it's Aser to be Mazmin the guy. It never says that it's Aser to have him actually eat. Another possibility, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, that if it's in a situation where you're not mischabed by the oreach, you're not honored by his presence, adrabe, you're doing him a favor, but it's not that he's honoring you by being there. So maybe that is a kula, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rabbi Rachmiel Fried, Rosh Kollel in Dallas, Texas, the mechaber of the Sefer Yom Tov Sheni Kehilchaso. He has a very, very, very strong sefer, and he was a Talmud, I think, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he writes in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Bloy Zatzal that there's no issur to invite him for a Sudas Yom Tov unless you invite him on Yom Tov itself. But if you invite him before Yom Tov, then it's okay. He says, you look at the Gemara, Mizamna Sanachri B'Shabbos Bein, Mizamna Sanachri B'Yom Tov. The Gemara says you're not allowed to invite him bi Yom Tov. So it sounds like if you invite him prior to Yom Tov, it's going to be mutter. Why? He says, because only when you first invite him on Yom Tov is there really a legitimate concern that you'll be marbe b'shvilo. So Rav Asher Weiss writes to Rabbi Fried in a tshuva that is not correct. He says, it's not correct in the Gemara, it's not correct in the Svara. He says, Afarish Sichasi, I'll explain to you why it's not correct. He says, from the Gemara, bi Yom Tov is not a diuk at all. It clearly means bishvil Yom Tov. B'shvil Shabbos. He says it's when it says that mezamnas avay b'Shabbos, it means that you're actually inviting him on Shabbos. What would be the context to invite someone at the last minute, to invite a non-Jew at the last minute on Shabbos? Clearly, that's not the case. It was clearly means before Shabbos. So he was not, Rav Asher Weiss was not thrilled with that particular akula. Akula that Rav Asher Weiss did think one could rely on, Rav Shechter also thought one could rely on, is if you have him cook his own food. Or if you have a nachri cook the food. I mean, you have the housekeeper do all the cooking in the house. What problem does that raise? There's a lakum, so turn on the fire. If it's an Ashkenazi family, turn on the fire, have the housekeeper. What? Yeah, so you turned on the fire before Yantav, or you raise the flame, all you need to do is raise the flame, and then it's fine, then let the Nachri do it, because then you're not the one that's doing the cooking anyway, it's the Nachri that's doing all the cooking. In general, Rav Shechter was not particularly thrilled with most of the kulas that we have, but at the end of the day, he said, you know, you got to find one of these kulas that you're comfortable relying on, and figure out which one you're comfortable relying on, even though he's not particularly comfortable with any of them. So I think most Gerus candidates do experience Yom Tov meals at someone's house before they convert, and typically a Beis Din won't convert them otherwise. Okay, everyone have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.